Sutton?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, please guide us in fulfilling our obligations to our community. Give us the insight to make fair and balanced decisions on all matters presented this evening. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Stand for the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chip, can you open?
Roll call.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Ms. Mary Ellen Cully?
Here.
Jason Kreuter?
Here.
Derek Batzel?
Here.
Ms. Shirley Wright?
Here.
And Danielle Ruslaird?
Here.
Mr. Joseph Richardson?
Here.
And our chair, Mr. Sparkman?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Good evening, board members. Charles Rich. I'm with the City of Ocala. I'm the newly appointed chief code official for the city. I'm certified by the Florida Association of Code Enforcement, certified in all four levels of training. I've been charged for the division for more than 6 years, at 30 years law enforcement experience. I'll be presenting your cases this evening. I would point out that we have an alternate member this evening, Mr. Joseph Richardson. He is new to the board. He won't have a vote this evening because everybody showed up. But in the occasions that someone has an excused absence or whatnot, Mr. Richardson would have a vote. Other than that, he can't participate in discussion with the board and let you know what his feelings are, and he can follow each case all the way through. So if someone abstains from a vote or is not here, Mr. Richardson would have a vote.
Nice to have you, sir.
So I introduce Mr. Richardson to you. If it pleases the board, we do have representations here this evening. I would like to start with those cases first.
Yeah.
Okay. Having said that, we could have the board secretary swearing all of the officers.
Do you swear affirm at the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. For the record, I'll point out that Dwayne Thomas, Matt Leibfried, Charles Rich, and Jason Kilcrease accepted the oath. If you would proceed to petition section of your presentation this evening on the docket, it's on page 5. And we would start out with COM 120027, a case involving the City of Ocala and Deborah A. Hicks, Linda Cole, and Rebecca Winter. I'll give you a moment to read the petition, which is in under that case number. And Ms. Wright, if Mr. Richardson has a problem, if you could point out.
He's there.
If I'm lost, I'll raise my hand.
There you go. Very good.
Which I am already.
This is a petition that we've received, and we have a copy of the petition in the case file, a copy of the photos, and a copy of the case call sheet. If you have any questions, the staff is prepared to answer any questions for you. I would say that we would like to read both of these cases into the record. COM 120027 and COM 121354 are both on the same petition form that you have. It may look like there's three separate petitions there. It is all one, but signed by three separate owners. So the same information is on each one. The city has a lien in the first case, COM 120027, for a total amount of $637.69. That was $112.69 in prosecution costs and $525 in fine. The city is proposing to reduce that first case to $375.19, and I think that we have this all written down for you, Mr. Chairman, on the sheet of paper.
I didn't.
The second one, they have a total fine of $15,266.52. $77.94 are in cost of prosecution. $688.58 are for cost to the city for remediation. And $14,500 are in fine as a repeat violator. I would point out to the board that we had 8 previous cases in violation at this location. The city is proposing a reduction of fine in the second case to our cost and $5,000 for a total of $6,141.71. I'll allow you all to have discussion, and we do have representation here that would like to speak with you all this evening if you don't have any questions from staff.
The eight violations, was that all the same owner?
Yes, previous owner, not the current owner.
Not the current owner, previous owner.
No. I'm not sure who the current owner is at this time, if the bank took it over. What we have representation tonight is the people that have contract for sale or want to purchase this property.
Let's hear from them.
Very good.
Good evening.
Could you swear in?
Yeah, sure.
Do you swear affirm of the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you could state your name and address for the record.
My name is Doug Inarelli. I live at 221 Northeast 45th Terrace in Ocala. I'm here representing First Assembly of God Church, which is directly south of this property. The three people listed on the petition there are actually the heirs of the property owners, I guess, that previously owned it, which are both deceased. And the property has been vacant for some time. These heirs have contacted the church and basically we've entered into a contract, and then when the title work was done, we determined significant fines levied against the land. The value of the property is less than $30,000 or $30,000 approximately.
What's your intentions to do with the property, sir?
It's going to be totally clean.
Is the building going to be removed?
Structure's coming down. Everything's going to be cleaned up. In fact, that's how it got into compliance. The church actually cleaned it up. But it'll be totally cleaned up. There's probably some dead trees on there, too. They're all going to come down. It'll be used for like a recreation area.
And you guys are all the way through your contract, and you come up with this lien, and
yeah,
you know, you just stalled with it.
Yeah, and well, this has stopped the whole, you know, closing. And so what we would ask the board, if the fine could be reduced down to just the hard cost that the city has on, then the closing can be completed. I don't think that we can close on it if we have that additional $5,000 in there. I don't know if we can reach an agreement with the sellers, but
I think the city would support that request.
How long before you would take down the building after you close? Because the building is kind of a...
No, I mean, they're ready to do it. I don't know. I'm not on, I'll say, the actual board.
Yes, sir.
But
the intentions are to take it away immediately.
Yes, very much, yes.
And claim the property. Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Guys, what do y'all think about this meeting?
That's fine.
I have no problem.
I know the church, and I know the piece of property, and I think we should reduce it just to the hard cost.
That's fine.
What do you think?
I agree.
You agree?
Yeah.
Okay. I think a motion to reduce the fine to the hard cost, they have to pay it within, 2 weeks is what we usually do?
Yeah.
Within 2 weeks.
Of the closing.
Of the closing.
I have one question. I saw on the, I guess it would be for, I saw that on the request it said that it had a closing date of April 30th. I guess that was the original. The original petition.
We just got an extension on the contract the other day. So we
when are you supposed to actually close? I guess
well,
depending on
as soon as we have a 30-day extension, and I think they would close as soon as we can resolve this matter.
Okay. Because so, I mean, if we put 2 weeks on them to pay it and they don't close, then that.
Yeah, if we could have like I'll just say a month, just so that the closing can all happen, the money will be paid out of closing. I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So a month or it reverts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 30 days.
Mm-hmm. 30 days. Make that motion then.
Okay. We have a motion by Ms. Bruce and a second one by Mr. Jason. Do we have a
879-21.
Do you have to vote? All in favor?
Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Pass. Now, will we get something from...
well, you may not.
I know.
But it would be available online or you could come to our office.
This is what's going to happen, sir. And if it's not, if you haven't closed, after you closed, you have 30 days to pay, 14 days.
Would it be 30 days from today or 30 days from the time they close?
From the time they close.
Okay.
Well, 30 days from today, because who knows when they're going to close. And they said that they only got a one-month extension.
Okay, 30 days from today.
Okay.
Okay, or it reverts back, the fines reverts back onto the property.
Okay.
Okay?
Very good.
And the only thing you'll have to pay is the hard cost to the city.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Have a good day.
Please, the board, we go to page 3 of the docket, or the agenda this evening. We have representation in this case, CON 140400. This is a case in the city of Ocala, Officer Maureen Kennedy, and I believe you took this one over, Matt. And Officer Matt Leibfried versus Yvette M. Sinney and the Bank of New York, Inc. A location at 1017 Southeast 13th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, and other unsanitary, unsightly unsanitary matter. And Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure. Section 82182, dangerous building declared a nuisance abatement required. The parcel ID is 2897-005-004. Legal service was obtained on 4/14/2014 for the notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in this case, we've included a copy of the findings of fact and the affidavit of partial compliance where the city brought the property into compliance previously. We've also included a copy of the SunBiz report, a bank email, and a copy of the less pendants involved in this case. The city would be proceeding in a repeat violator fashion on this case. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code. Further investigation revealed that in 2012, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violating code sections 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat offender. Additional investigation reveals the structure is in dangerous condition due to its unsecure condition and the possibility of transient neighborhood children activity on property. This property is contributing to the deterioration, slum, and blight of the neighborhood, and all attempts by the Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of your additional correspondence, at the end of your presentation, we've included photographs of the current condition of the property. Staff has a recommendation. If you wish, I'll read that into the record at this time.
Yes.
Staff recommendation is to find respondent guilty of violating city code sections 3495, 82181, and 82182 as a repeat violator per chapter 16204 of Florida statutes. Order them to 1, cut and clean up their property, properly removing any junk and debris. 2, secure the residence building as required to prevent unauthorized entry. And 3, pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $500 per day and the city to do the work utilizing all means required, with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure. Staff is prepared to answer any questions that you may have, and we do have representation here this evening.
Chip, who's been working the case since Ms. Kennedy?
Matt Leibfried has been working this case. Do you have any additional questions?
I'd like to ask Matt.
Sir?
Since you took over the case there, have you been in contact with the bank?
No, I have not.
Has the bank been in contact with you guys?
No, sir.
Thank you. We'll hear from the bank. Ms. Warren?
Yes, I am.
He's an attorney.
Okay.
For the record, this is an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Travis Munden. I'm local counsel here today or this evening on behalf of the Bank of New York. I've been asked to come this evening. The property is still in foreclosure. The foreclosure is not complete yet. However, we're very close to ending the case.
How long have you been representing the property?
We've been representing the property, or Bank of New York has been representing the property, I believe, throughout the foreclosure. I personally, I'm local counsel. I'm only representing it, representing Bank of New York for tonight's purposes.
Okay.
I have not represented
yes,
them
sir.
Before in this case. I may not afterwards. It depends on whether they request that I represent them or not. However, I am familiar with the status of the foreclosure action. Mm-hmm. I have reviewed the clerk's docket in that case. A motion for summary judgment has been filed along with all the supporting affidavits, as well as the original note and mortgage. The borrower, Ms. Cindy, is in default. She has not participated in the foreclosure, so I see no legal reason why the summary judgment would not be granted. Everything is in order. It's just that the actual hearing to hear the motion for summary judgment has not been calendared yet. I anticipate that when we can get that calendared, we will be able to proceed with the motion for summary judgment. Once the final judgment is granted, we'll be in a position to try to remedy the issues with the property. I have no personal knowledge concerning the condition of the property, but I have no reason to doubt the.
What's the reason why the bank hasn't went over there to do anything?
That I cannot say, sir. All I can say is that I know once the foreclosure is complete, they'll be able to. But I can't speak for why no action has been taken up to this point.
Did we have like a time frame? A month? 2 months?
I'm requesting 2 months. Again, the actual motion has not been calendared, but it has been filed. And again, all the supporting affidavits have been filed. Where the borrower's in default, as they are in this case, where the original note and mortgage has been filed, and where the supporting affidavits have been filed, there's no reason why the motion for summary judgment would not be granted. At that point, it's just kind of the formality of just going through the motions of the hearing.
I believe that before then and up to then, the bank is required to register the property and keep it in compliance with city code while it is in foreclosure action. So it needs to be remedied before 2 months.
Absolutely.
From now. It needs to be remedied pretty soon.
The problem is we need to send a message back to these banks that the city's not going to tolerate this anymore. You know, you need to register the property. You need to keep up with your properties or else you're going to have the fines. And it's no reflection on you, sir. You're just representing, but we need to send that message back. City's not going to tolerate this anymore.
I understand.
So we appreciate you coming, you know, and we'll talk about it right now and get to it at the bottom of it.
Is there anything to prevent the bank from going on the property and taking care of these things now?
No.
I mean, I know that it says dangerous building. I don't know if they can fix that.
No, sir. Actually, Chapter 134, 141 through 145 requires the bank, when they file the lest pendens, to register and maintain the property. And we have not received that. This lest pendens was filed in 2012. So I know that the representation that was here this evening probably just received that. And
right.
I don't know that he has all that information. The city's position is, you know, pretty simple. We may be out of this after they do their foreclosure or what have mm-hmm. you, but right now we can't tolerate the
not at
the
all
blight that the neighborhood
the door,
is causing.
The open structure is the problem.
The problem is, Chip, that we've been going around there fixing up everybody's property and sending the city workers out there to do it, and the banks just want to come back here and beg for forgiveness, and that's got to stop.
2 years on this one is actually
that's too long. That's too long.
Some of them have been 4 years and longer, so
yep.
I appreciate the fact that he's going to take a message back to them, but we certainly do need their help in trying
sure.
to make the city, you know, and the neighborhoods the place that we want them to be. That's the city's position. We would like to.
And the only thing we're asking them to register the property and keep up with the property. That's
yes,
the only
sir.
Thing we want it done. You
so
know,
we'll stand on staff recommendations.
Right. Right.
The doors are
so we have a discussion.
Is 14 days too soon, or do we cut it down?
I don't think
10?
So.
Is pretty standard.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if
reasonable.
They don't get it done in 14, they're going to have $500 a day afterwards.
Right.
Yeah. I'd make a motion that they have to clean up the yard,
mm-hmm.
and have the property boarded up and, you know,
registered.
Safe to where no one can
staff
enter it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically.
It certainly appears like they have the right to do that under the mortgage that's been filed with the foreclosure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
I'd second the motion.
Okay, we have a first by Mr. Basil and second by Mrs. Roos. All
so
in favor?
Is the motion for the staff recommendation?
The motion is for the staff recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Yes. Thank you, sir.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
I heard a statement about foreclosures and banks and et cetera. Is this an ongoing thing every time a bank gets involved?
Absolutely. Yeah, not all banks do that. Some banks register the property and take care of the property while it's under foreclosures. Other banks just expect the city to do it, and then when they get it so ready to sell, they come up here and ask for forgiveness and for us to reduce the fines. When we've sent people out there to clean and board up and cover up the
do
pools.
Do they not pay for that?
We do pay for that.
We pay for it.
But I'm saying, does the bank ever pay for the cleanups?
Well, it's been where we've been reducing it for them so they can get it back on the tax rolls and stuff. But, you know, it's time that the banks really, really step up to the plate and pay their share. If they can't come out here and do the work and do what's responsible, what the code says, then we need to levy on that, what the code says.
Turn the screws down.
To answer your question, though, Joe, it seems I've had a pretty short time here, too, but it seems like what they'll do is if they come back and ask for it, they will reduce the fines that have been imposed on them and just charge the hard cost. They pay for the cleanup, but not the...
Yeah, they're paying the hard cost, but they haven't been paying the fines. You know, we've been reducing the fines or halving it or something like that. But I think what needs to be done here is the banks need to take the responsibility back.
Well, they're required to.
That they're just saying, okay, the city's going to take care of it. When we get ready to do it, then we'll just do it.
I'm speaking from a situation in my neighborhood where a bank happens to be Bank of America, and I've taken pictures of it and taken it over to the branch. He said, oh, that's not our, that's another division entirely. And so I said, what's that mean? Well, you've got to get in with that division, which is a mortgage lien. Mm-hmm. But it's been going on for 3 years, 4 years.
Maybe. Is it a city property or is it a county property?
It's city. Just on the corner from me. I mean, and tree has fallen down a couple of times. You got a log out there. I'm going to get my chainsaw and cut the damn thing up. Excuse me.
Let's talk to the attorney. Wants to say something else.
I just wanted to acknowledge receipt of the staff or the hard copy of the staff recommendation and to ask permission to be excused.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. To the police board, we proceed to page 4 in the agenda this evening. And to case CON 14-0413, the City of Ocala versus JDN Realty Corporation and World of Decor Inc. I would point out that our case is in violation. The violation is against World of Decor Inc. However, we do have to notice JDN Realty Corporation because they are the management company for the property. Anything that occurs on their property, we are required by law to notice them of. This is a case involving location at 2400 Southwest College Road, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, violation of section 110-131, prohibited signs. Yeah. The parcel ID is 23560-002-02. Legal service was obtained on 4/14 and 15/2014 for the notice of violation and 4/21/2014 for the notice of hearing. We also posted the property on 4/9/2014 for the notice of hearing and 4/17/2014 for the notice of hearing. The first one would be notice of violation, second one would be notice of hearing. As part of the additional correspondence in your case this evening, we've included a copy of the SunBiz reports and the summary of findings are that Officer Dwayne Thomas located this property and observed that the property is in violation of the city's code and that the business continues to place prohibited banners, flags, balloons, and signs up in violation of the city's code. Officer Thomas responded to the various locations in southwest portion of the city, observing off-site violations, advertising violations, and prohibited on-site signage in violation of the city's code. Officer Thomas received information that on weekends, the respondents are placing their billboard truck in various locations around the State Road 200 corridor. Officer Thomas worked with the property owner and the respondent business to explain the city's code and requested the respondents to remove all prohibited signage and not place them out again on numerous occasions. However, the respondent business failed to comply. The property owner had to bring the property into compliance on more than one occasion, and violations keep occurring. Additional investigation by Officer Thomas revealed that the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violation, and all attempts by Officer Thomas to have the respondent remedy the violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. As part of the correspondence in your case, we've included photographs of the violations. What happens here is that all signs that are not approved and have a permit to be affixed to a building are considered temporary signage. Mm-hmm. So all advertising and whatnot that does not have a permit to be a temporary sign is in violation of the city's code. In this particular occasion, we've got banners on page one that are unpermitted. On page two of the photographs, we have balloons. Those are what we call 30-foot balloons. They wind them up to advertise the location. On page two of the bottom of page two, we have a copy of our notice. Top of page three, we have a copy of our notice. At the bottom of page three, we have where they removed the signage. Then at the top of page four, we have the signage out there again to include the billboards on the truck parked out on the road to act as a sign. Again, on the bottom of page four, additional pictures of the balloons. On the top of page five, we then have these animal characters. Again, violation of the code. The top of page six, we've got their World of Decor auction billboard truck. And this is the truck that was parked at various locations on State Road 200, out by the interstate, at the Gold Display Store.
Seen it all over.
Up at Chipotle restaurant on 27th Avenue, various locations. We have attempted to work significantly with the Property Management Corporation, who's been very cooperative.
Is there somebody from the property management here?
I believe we do have property management representation. Okay. I'm not sure who we have here this evening. However, we do have to resolve this situation. Staff has a recommendation, if you'd like me to read that in the record at this time. The staff recommendation would be to find a respondent guilty of violating City Code Section 110-131, order them to remove all unpermitted signage and not place any additional off-site prohibited signs throughout the city in violation of the sign code. Pay a fine of $250 and pay the cost of prosecution as assessed in the case all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Can we hear from Dwayne Thomas, please?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Dwayne, when you go out there and talk to the people, what's the response you get?
On more than one occasion, we actually had a meeting in the business office.
Okay.
In reference to the banners. They did go get initially get a banner permit for the banners on the building. That permit lapsed. Mm-hmm. The permit remained. They ended up putting out streamers after
so
that.
So basically what's happening is you're going over there, you're talking to them, they're getting in compliance, and then next time they have an auction, they're throwing all the stuff back out there again.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's an ongoing, correct?
It's a continuation.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Any more questions for Dwayne?
Also, Officer Kilcrease spoke with them on the weekends as well about placing their signs out.
Okay.
If you want to hear any more from him.
On multiple occasions, through the weekends when they do have the auctions,
right,
they go put the snipe signs out, and I spoke to the gentleman that was putting them out and taping the billboard on the side of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
The truck, it looks like that's a billboard that's attached to that vehicle. It's mm-hmm. only attached there through duct tape, and it's a banner duct tape to the vehicle.
So it's a sign.
It's a sign.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Right. Because I've noticed going down there, when the auction's going on, the signs are everywhere.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then when it's not going on, they're gone.
There's none.
They're gone. So whatever you're doing with the, finding them or talking to them, they're listening, and as soon as you get out of sight, they're right back in there doing it again. Can we hear from the property management, please?
Good evening, I'm Paul Kraft.
Do you swear affirm at the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
And now if you could state your name and address for the record.
I am Paul Kraft, Regional Property Manager with the DDR Corp, and I'm located out of 41268 U.S. Highway 19 North in Tarpon Springs, Florida.
You're familiar with what's going on? You hear what's going on?
Mr. Dwayne and I have been working together on this.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it's one of those things where...
So you got a property rented to a tenant.
Correct.
That every time we talk to the tenant...
And every time
you talk to them, they're saying, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do it. They take it away. As soon as you guys get out of sight, they're right back doing it again.
Unfortunately. Although they should have been in compliance now for the last 2 weeks.
Then we're not.
So did they not understand, like, with the balloons? Like, I'm looking at the pictures in the first set.
No, they should know.
The balloons, so it's very clear that they're not supposed to have the balloons. They just deliberately...
It seems to me that they don't really care. You know, they care about their auction and the time their auction's going on. Now, I understand that you're leasing them the property and maintaining the lease with them, and they're putting this load on you.
Thank you.
Okay? But, you know, you have to do something to your tenants to wake them up. You don't wake them up, we're going to wake them up.
I understand.
Okay, and we're about to wake you up right now.
I totally understand.
Is there anybody that represents a business here today?
Yes.
Okay. Can we talk to her, please? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And you swear affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you could just state your name and address for the record.
Sabrina Eos. My corporate address is 11423 Satellite Boulevard, Orlando, Florida, 32837.
Ma'am, are you the one that makes the decisions on this advertising, the balloons and the animals and stuff?
I am the president of the company, so I have some involvement. The advertising that you've seen done is just standard advertisement that we do when we move into different facilities, but because we move into various facilities in different cities and towns, they each have different rules. We have...
Was these rules from Ocala brought to your attention?
They have been recently, sir, yes.
Recently, when?
I believe the first time I received a notice, we spoke with somebody and we said we would get into compliance. That was approximately 2 weeks ago, and then, of course, I'm here today, so.
What are you going to do about it?
At the moment, we are in the end stages of procuring the permanent sign for the building, so we're going to post that. We won't have any more banners on the outside of the building. The truck, it's an outside company that we pay. He's supposed to be driving the truck, not parking it in the front of the building. So, that's an issue with him that we've discussed.
Duct tape is not safe.
He's supposed to be driving, and that's correct. I did not know that he was using duct tape, so that's a little disturbing to find out.
I'll also point out why we're at that particular point, if you don't mind. We do not allow driving advertisement in the city of Ocala either.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a company who we would have hoped once we hired him he would have understood the rules in the area and wouldn't take our money and not be able to provide the service legally. So
I want to hear.
There is that issue.
With that being said, the first time that they had an auction, I met with this gentleman that she's talking about.
Yes.
And I explained everything to him that day, that Saturday, that they were first non-compliant and said the signs can't be here. You can't be taking up a banner, you can't park the vehicle this way, you can't have it that. I explained everything from A to Z to him the very first time a couple months back, and this has continued on. So this person that she's talking about has been just ignoring from day one.
Well, ma'am, I'm a business owner myself, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I write the checks for my employees, I understand what's happening to my business, and you understand what's happening to your business.
Correct.
And you said that you only knew 2 weeks ago about this, but this has been an ongoing thing, and we cannot accept this.
I understand.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The advertising's got to stop. The truck can't be there. The monkeys and all that stuff, that's got to go.
Okay,
the balloons, all that, you got to come in compliance with the city.
So we've got the... permit in the final stages for the permanent sign, so that won't be an issue.
That's not what we're talking about here.
The sculptures are actually just we're not going to put those out. We were just merchandise that we bring outside, not as a means to advertise per se, but just.
Well, then are we going to have next week? Or are we going to have lines out there because it's merchandise?
I don't think you can store merchandise out there.
No, and I understand that now, and I apologize for that. As far as the truck company that you spoke to, he didn't make it clear to us that you spoke with him. He continued to take our money. He's not my employee. He is a separate company.
Well, you know, that's in between you and the people you
hire.
It's the city and you.
Yes, sir, I understand.
So from here on out, you understand that we're fixing to put a fine on you and go along with it. You can't be doing this anymore. If you come back in front of us, it's going to get worse.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
I have a Motion from Ms. Ruse to accept staff recommendation, second by Mr. Basil. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Pass.
I made it.
You can be excused. Thank you. And thank you too, sir.
Did you have
any questions,
sir? Yes, sir. Come on.
Come on up.
Just what is the official on the record? I'll read the staff recommendation into the record again for what you'd like.
Yes.
It's for the respondent to be found guilty of violating City Code Section 110-131, ordered to them to remove all unpermitted signage and not place any additional off-site permitted signs throughout the city in violation of the city's sign code. To pay a fine of $250 and pay the cost of prosecution of the case as assessed, all within 14 days, failing which a fine of $50 per day with all costs and fines assessed as a lien. After 90 days of non-payment, refer to the city attorney's office for consideration of foreclosure.
Do we know the total amount of, or will we get notice of that?
I can tell you. They'll be responsible for that, not the property owner.
Okay.
It's a $250 fine.
Thank you, sir.
$50 today, actually, seems pretty good.
Well, if they come back and try to skin, $50 a day won't be $50 anymore.
The cost of prosecution is $142.57.
Yeah.
50 plus 142.
Well, it's, they don't put a balloon there, and then the next Saturday.
Well, it's kind of like this. I'll pay $50 and do my stuff.
$392.
So we're giving them the chance.
Thank you, gentlemen.
The second chance, we're gonna get slammed.
$500.
Yeah. And I think that's fair because it's just using the city.
Yes.
Well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please, the board, we'd move on at this time. Go to page 2 of the agenda this evening, COM 140313. This is a case of the City of Ocala and Officer Maureen Kennedy versus Young Joe Simmons III, a location of 1843 Southeast 17th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of Section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly and unsanitary matter. Section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure, and Section 82182, dangerous building declared nuisance, abatement required. The parcel ID is 2918-000-00. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation for this case this evening. The person you see in the back here is our intern. Having said that, we have legal service and posting as provided on page 2 of your documentation. The summary of findings that Officer Kennedy located this property, observed the property is in violation of the city's code, and it is overgrown and unsecured. Additional investigation reveals the structure is dangerous due to its unsecured condition, the possibility of transient neighborhood children activity at the property. This property is contributing to the deterioration, slum, and blight of the neighborhood, and all attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has included a copy of the photographs of the current condition of the property. I am prepared to answer any questions that you may have concerning this incident and this property. I would point out for you that in the past, when we had cited this property, we did have cooperation with the respondent who would take care of it. This time, we had not had any contact with him or any conversations concerning the condition of the property. And I'm prepared to answer any other questions that you may have.
When you try to talk to the gentleman, he just ignores you? Or?
Well, we've sent notice and we've posted notice. We have not had any response back
at all.
No, sir. I think this will be a significant cleanup here.
And this is a, how many
because
times
the have property had line is, you know, you've basically got a path up to this house, but the property line is.
Yeah, but you guys have been out there several times at this location.
Yes, sir.
Prior to this case.
Yes, sir, but this is the first time it's came to the board.
But yeah, he always cleans it up and then he
yes,
comes in. Okay.
What about the dangerous building part? I mean, is that something that's easily
yeah.
remedied on a property like this? Or
it will be because we'll board it up. We'll secure it.
So it's not like he's got to knock it down. We're gonna.
Well, it hasn't been inspected by.
It has not had an inspection. I don't think that the property could not be salvaged. I think there's probably
yeah.
a
yeah,
decent house there. I'm thinking he's waiting maybe for somebody to contact him and give him several billions of dollars because it's on 17th
commercial
Street.
Development.
In the meantime, it's in the middle of a very populated section. So,
yeah, it's in a nice section.
Street,
it's a nice section.
2,000 block, and it's pretty desirable.
Can we have a discussion here, guys? This piece of property here, these guys keep going back and forth, and he cleans it up and stuff. You know, the fine of $25 a day. Well, let's get his attention a little bit more.
It's $25 the max?
I think that's the max.
No, this board can impose a maximum fine on the first offense brought to you of $250 per day.
I think if he don't have the respect of this board to contact you guys and do something, let's get his attention.
Is it possible that, I know you've done the legal posting, that this person just isn't aware of it? Is it possible they passed away?
He got certified mail.
Oh, did he sign
we
for
have
it?
Signed certified mail.
So he knows.
What do you think?
Maybe $150 a day. $250
seems extreme. Does this give him the recommendation, give him amount of time to clean it up?
14 days.
And then the fines begin after that?
Yes.
Could we extend that period but raise the fines?
Well,
essentially saying,
you know, I think if this house was in your neighborhood,
30 days.
Would you want to extend the time out?
I think he's had.
Well, if it gets done within a month, I'd be fine with that.
But see, this guy keeps doing the same thing.
He keeps doing the same thing.
He keeps going there, and he just skirts right up underneath the wire. But this time he didn't. He said, "The heck with it." So, you know, somewhere along the line, you got to get the guy's attention. $25 a day is not going to do it. I don't think.
I think $100 a day would do it.
$100?
Yeah, $100 a day.
$3,000
a month.
He received his first notice from us. That's a nice letter first. He was signed for his first notice on 3/26/2014. So he's had some time.
Mm-hmm. I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations with the change that it be $150 a day.
He's okay with this.
Yes, sir.
He won't need to speak.
Okay, I have a motion by Ms. Roots to set staff recommendation, but to raise the fine to $150 a day. And I have a second by Shirley Wright. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
One nay.
The board secretary should announce that the motion is carried.
Motion carried.
That'll bring us to the next case on the agenda at the bottom of page 2, COM 140374. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violation. This is the case of the City of Ocala versus Kenneth K. Vogel, Green Tree Servicing, care of James Patterson and Bank of America Corp. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation in this case this evening, and the location is 4412 Southeast 15th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. For violation of section 3432, water collections, 32512, barrier required, and 82512, and section 82513, specifications for the barrier. The parcel ID is 29651-002-03. Legal service and posting have been completed as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. As part of your presentation, we've also included a previous copy of the findings of fact and the affidavit of partial compliance in the first case where the city brought this property into compliance. We've also included a copy of the SunBiz report, a less pendant, and a current property registration. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy located this property and observed the property is in violation of the city's code. Further investigation revealed that in 2010, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of code section 3432, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. All additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Kennedy enabled the bank to comply with the registration requirements. However, all the other violations remain. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondent remedy the violations in this case have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has a copy of the staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2. We're prepared to answer any questions that you have on this case. I'm prepared to answer any questions that you have. You can see we brought the property into compliance previously. That's gone in total disrepair at this time. We have a problem in that the pool barrier is down. That's, of course, a significant issue. And the requirement of not only our code, but state law.
Is Dwayne taking care of this case, too, now?
No. I'll be representing this case, but Matt's working the case.
Okay.
I'd make a motion if there's no discussion.
Let's discuss about this pool enclosure.
Okay.
That's pretty dangerous. Is it got water in it?
Yes, sir. It does have water in it.
And the issue is the enclosure or the barrier that's built
the,
over
the
top?
The barrier as well as the pool are the...
Well, any kid could go through that screen and go right in
there. Well, it's unlocked.
It's unlocked. Okay. It's even worse.
And the gate's open.
Yeah, and the gate is open, so it's a problem. The barrier requirements are a four-foot requirement to be enclosed around the pool, so the cage doesn't really qualify as the barrier. It has to be that 4 foot.
The bottom line, if a kid gets loose in the neighborhood and goes over there and starts exploring, goes through the screen, falls in there.
That is our concern as well.
And this is a repeat violator. It's going to be 500 a day, right?
Yes,
sir. Do you accept staff recommendation?
Yes, sir.
The maximum, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's going to get their attention.
Yeah, I think that's what we should do. Yeah.
I would make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. We have Jason made a motion to accept staff recommendation, second by Mr. Bowser. And all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
I do have a question. The
yes,
city
yes.
won't drain the pool, though, right?
No, ma'am. What we'll generally do is to treat and cover the pool so that we try to prevent somebody from
yeah.
getting into it, but we also try to keep the rain from continually flowing in there. Initially, you can see this skeleton. That was placed over that by the city contractor, and then they put a large tarp over that. And this has been sitting now almost 4 years. In this condition. So what happens is because the bank is not accepting their
which
responsibility,
bank is this again?
We're going to have to go back
bank
out.
Bank America?
SunTrust Bank. Deutsche
SunTrust.
Bank. Which transferred, I'm sorry, no. Hold on, just, that's the next case.
Bank of America.
This one was Green Tree Servicing and Bank of America.
Just out of curiosity, do the city employees go and build that those little
our contractors
covers?
Do.
Okay, so it's kind of subbed out.
Yes, sir. We have to sub all of them.
Okay. Just wondering.
And that becomes
why don't
part
we,
of the lien.
Why don't we secure this property if it's open to where someone can get
we
in?
We will.
You have to give them notice.
But I have to have your order
okay.
to go on private property. Once I secure that order, we're allowed to go on and we'll make the proper adjustments to make sure that we bring it into some kind of compliance that will hold it over until hopefully the bank gets done with the property. That's the goal.
That's what we want. Yeah.
Having said that, we move on to the agenda to page 3, COM 140280. This is the City of Ocala versus Joel and Elizabeth Marcus, Deutsche Bank Trust Corp. Americas and SunTrust, care of Hassana R. Kelly, a location of 1421. Southeast 49th Avenue, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 34141 through 145, property registration and maintenance requirements for properties in default. The parcel ID is 29689-002-14. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation by the respondent here this evening. Legal service has been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We've also included a copy of the SunBiz report, the less pendants, and a copy of the current property registration. The summary of findings that Officer Lorraine Kennedy responded to this location due to a neighbor complaint, and upon arrival observed the property is in violation of the city's code. Additional investigation revealed the property is in foreclosure, and Officer Kennedy added the bank to the case. Work by Officer Kennedy enabled the overgrowth and the pool violation to be cleared up by the respondents. However, the bank has not complied with the registration requirements. All attempts by Officer Kennedy to have the respondents remedy all violations have not been successful, and the violation remains of the registration on the property. Staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation. as an additional information for the board's membership information, I would say that SunTrust Bank is probably one of the least cooperative banks in dealing with properties in the city. They very rarely register a property unless compelled to do so by this board or the magistrate. Therefore, we're seeking your assistance in resolving this issue.
Discussion? I think we should max them out on the fine. $50 a day doesn't seem to get their attention.
$250
a day may get their attention.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendations and make it $250 a day if they're not in compliance within 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'll second.
Does the fine go against the people or the bank or all three of these?
Everybody.
On this one, because the bank is responsible in our code to register the property, this violation would go against the bank.
So the $250 a day would only go against the bank? It wouldn't be assessed as a fine toward the people?
We have to notify the property owner
right.
or the previous, whatever stage they're in. It's
they haven't even registered.
In a foreclosure situation, won't it generally always revert to the bank?
Well, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't want to assess a $250 fine to somebody who left the property.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, and I'll tell you why I agree with you. The property owner has no responsibility to register their property under our code. Okay. So you're in the right mode as far as I'm concerned. The bank is responsible to do this. It's clearly enumerated in the code that the bank is responsible.
And we've had a case before where the people got the fine, and we waived the fine for them.
So yeah, they would not have gotten the fine for them.
Excuse me?
In a foreclosure situation, the fines that we levy against them can go against the person being foreclosed?
Well, we've had a case or two where it's done that before. And we
not
waived
for registration.
It. Not for registration, but for the violation, you know, because they got caught up in that situation.
Right.
You know, so we just waived it to them, but the bank had the responsibility.
Yeah, okay.
So, Ms. Roos made a motion to accept staff recommendation, but to go ahead and increase the fine to $250 a day. And Kyle has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Passed.
That'll bring us to the bottom of page 3 of the docket, COM 140296. The City of Ocala versus Nathan and Gloria Dickerson, a location at 1228 Northeast 17th Terrace, Ocala, Marion County, Florida, a violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash and other unsightly unsanitary matter, and section 82181, the definition of a dangerous structure, section 82182, dangerous building declared a nuisance, abatement required. The parcel ID is 26690-000-00. Legal service and posting have been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation, and I would point out for the record that we do not have representation by the respondent here this evening. The summary of findings are that Officer Matthew Leitfried located this property, observed the property is in violation of the city's code, and that it is overgrown and unsecured. Additional investigation reveals the structure is dangerous due to its unsecure condition and the possibility of transient neighborhood children and activity on the property. This property has been contributing to the deterioration, slum, and blight of the neighborhood, and all attempts by Officer Leitfried to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. I'm prepared to answer any questions that you may have concerning this case. And staff has a recommendation at the bottom of page 2 of your presentation concerning the our recommendation for cure.
Did you guys talk to the people?
We had no communication with the respondents. They refused to accept all of the certified mail, thinking that we may be in a situation where they've just abandoned the structure.
Is it vacant?
Yes.
Nobody's there.
And it's not in foreclosure.
Not yet. Probably coming soon to a code board near you.
So this is one of those cases where we were just talking about, if we go ahead and fine these people and it's going to foreclosure, then that fine goes on to the people, and they have the right to come in here and do a petition and ask for us to waive that, you know. But evidently they don't want to hear about it, you know. They've just left it. Abandoned it. Or they don't care.
Should we do $100 a day? I don't think it's going to get anybody's attention if they're not going to care enough.
I think the most important thing is after 14 days, the city's able to just do the work and then just assess it
right.
as a lien. I think that's the most important. So the fine's almost...
Yeah, but, you know, and still, again, if we raise this, this $25 a day is just not enough to get anybody's attention, you know?
Right.
It's just like the people that had the store. They'd rather pay the $50 and go ahead and put their monkeys out there in balloons and then be done with it.
What about assessing a fine of like $500, or I'm not sure if we'd be able to do this, but the fine goes away if they take care of it in 14 days. Say it'll be...
We can go up to $250 a day.
That would almost be the same thing as, but... Yeah.
Yeah, the board can assess a fine of up to $250 on a first violation. Okay, so that would be your max on this violation. It's a daily fine, or you could say one fine of $250. It's been our experience that the cumulative effect of a fine is more progressive than a single fine. And we generally, the reason why we assess a $25 fine against individuals is because that's a fraction of what the fine could be. With businesses, we usually assess a first-time fine of $50 per day. That's just been tradition of what we have done. I understand the board's sensitivity to the fact that you may not feel you're being heard.
But in the same token, Chip, here's the problem. You know, you guys are sending letters out, you're sending trucks out, you're sending officers out to do this job, and you're not getting anybody to respond. They don't care. So why should we care about finding them $25 a day? This time to wake these people up.
That is, of course, the board's decision. You have some ability within the law to make an
mm-hmm. Even if these people do not care about it, and it goes into foreclosure, as soon as it goes to the bank and they see that they've been getting fined, as soon as it goes into foreclosure, the bank has started accepting the fine, right?
Well, then have to notice the bank if they don't bring it into compliance. We notice the bank and the respondent again. By that time, we will have gone out. This is our goal.
Right.
Is to go out
and clean the property.
Remedy the violation. Once we do that, then the property is prepared to be in a repeat violator situation. That's where I would rather you as a board be less flexible. Initially, and this is all, again, just my theory. Initially, I don't particularly mind that we have a lower fine. I think it's also recognized in the law that a lower fine to try to gain what we refer to as voluntary compliance is not a bad way to go. I mean,
what it looks like is going on here, if I read this correctly, is this was property that was deeded to these people and by a personal representative's deed. It was left to them.
Yes, sir.
By someone who's not related to them. It looks like the amount of the mortgage by this assignment of mortgage that's part of the file is about $127,000. And it's probably, the mortgage
going
on the property is more than the property's worth. So the people who receive this
are underwater.
And they don't care about it.
That's
you can assess whatever fine you want. They're not going to do anything. Eventually, the bank's going to take this.
Right,
back,
right.
And the bank's going to come in here and ask for reduction.
Yeah.
Or just foreclose us out.
Or foreclose the lien out, but to clear up title, they'll come in here and ask for a reduction of whatever lien we have on the property
sure.
at that point. And we'll probably, as our practice is, reduce it to whatever hard cost we have.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this particular situation, I don't know that debating.
Going up with a fine might not, be beneficial here.
Right.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation.
I'll second that motion.
Wait a second. We have discussions before
this.
Can we give them 7 days? I mean,
we can shorten it.
Yes, sir.
We can shorten it. Yes. It's the city on the property.
I just wanted to bring up a point, though,
yes.
because it seems like with this discussion that maybe a couple of people think that this fine starts on day one. It doesn't start until after the 14 days.
It will start assessing after we've given them a chance. However,
right.
I will point out what your board attorney has advised you. They're not paying any attention.
Correct.
They haven't signed for any of our
So we might as well
do 7 or 30.
Seven days.
Fine, yeah.
7 days
well,
would be.
I was just saying 7 days so that the state, the city could get it into compliance.
Sure.
That's what's most
okay.
important.
Sure.
So, because, I mean, if they're not going to do anything, then we're just giving them 14 days just because.
That's just 14 more days out there doing nothing.
And if I can just add one more thing to the board to bolster your thoughts here. I think our job is to get the properties into compliance either voluntarily or by the city taking action.
Yeah.
I think that, as is mentioned, they're going to come up here and mea culpa and everything else down the line. But right now, I think it's beneficial for the city. Even in some cases where we get foreclosed out of our liens, it's my thought that it's sometimes it's more beneficial for the city to take care of the problem.
Well, let's take care of the problem, but the fine to these banks.
This isn't going to go to the bank.
I know. This is not this particular one. But the banks that come up here and send a lawyer from Miami up here to represent property.
I cannot argue with you.
That's crazy.
I've seen the bank come here before. You know, they send a Tampa lawyer up or whatever to just not have to pay the 125 registration fee.
Right.
So I don't understand it. I think they're just making a business decision.
Okay, let's go back to this.
7 days.
7 days, everybody agrees? 7 days?
Happy. $25 per day.
Yeah.
And
$25. I make a motion to accept the staff recommendation with the change that it's going to be within 7 days rather than 14. Otherwise, it's the same.
And I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion by Ms. Roos to accept staff recommendation, but to shorten the days to 7. And second by Kyle. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Passed.
That'll bring us to page 4 of your agenda this evening, CON 14-0482, the City of Ocala versus, and Officer Jason Kilcrease versus Vero Atlantic 1 LLC, a location at 1545 Northeast 9th Street, Ocala, Marion County, Florida. A violation of section 3495, weeds, accumulation of trash, or unsightly unsanitary matter. And the parcel ID is 2651-004-001. Legal service has been obtained as indicated on page 2 of your presentation. We would be proceeding in this case as a repeat violator, and as part of the additional correspondence, we've included a previous copy of the findings of fact in the first case and the affidavit of partial compliance where the city brought the property into compliance. The summary of findings that Officer Jason Kilcrease responded to this location due to a citizen's complaint, and upon arrival, observed the property in violation of the city's code and that it is overgrown. Additional investigation revealed that in 2013, the respondent was brought before the Municipal Code Enforcement Board and found guilty for violation of code section 3495, qualifying this case as a repeat violator. Further investigation by Officer Kilcrease revealed the respondents have not taken corrective action on the violations, and all attempts by Officer Kilcrease to have the respondent remedy the violation have not been successful, and the violation remains. Staff has a staff recommendation at the bottom of page 2. I would point out for the record that we do not have representation by the respondent this evening, and we're prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Have they accepted any of the letters?
No, sir, they did not.
I'd say 7 days.
7 days again, yeah.
I make a motion to accept staff recommendation, but change it to 7 days instead of 14 days.
Not second.
Ms. Roos has made a motion to accept a staff recommendation, but to remove the 14 days into 7 days. And Kyle has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Passed.
That'll bring us to the bottom of page 4, the petition to request reduction of penalty. I would point out for you that we'll do this first case, CEB070144. So if you click on your petition section, you can then go to see that case. We've got a copy of the case cost sheet, the case photos, and a petition by the respondent. I would point out that the respondent has come to our office and he paid the cost of prosecution in this case. In this situation, he leased this property out to an individual who did not take care of it as they should have. He did not realize that that person was brought in for a violation and found guilty of a violation. Therefore, when the sale came up, was the first time he had had personal knowledge of this violation. Staff supports the reduction of the fine of $250 and is satisfied with the fact that he's paid the cost of prosecution in the case. Staff would recommend approval of this petition.
Sounds reasonable to me. Yeah.
Is he here? Does he want to speak if we grant it?
You want to speak this evening, sir?
Are you sure?
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation of dismissing the fine at this point.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Roos to accept staff recommendation, and second by Ms. Shirley Wright. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Pass.
That'll bring us to the bottom of page 5 of your agenda this evening. In the old business section, staff would respectfully request to accept the items listed under old business under a consent agenda for noncompliance. I would advise the board that all of the cases listed under that consent agenda section are noncompliant, and an affidavit of noncompliance has been completed in all of those cases. So staff would respectfully request a motion to accept those cases listed in the consent agenda section as noncompliant and order that our office to proceed with previous board and magistrate orders.
I would make that motion.
I would second that motion.
We have a motion by Jason and a second by Ms. Drews.
We'll point out for the record, we have no representation by any of those respondents here this evening.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
So to let you understand a little bit about the process, you all have previously placed them or found them guilty, and you ordered them to take some action. They did not take that action. Therefore, we brought them back at the end of their action time frame to give them one more chance to indicate to you why they didn't take that action or what they've done to take the action or request an extension of time. No one chose to do that, so we'll proceed with your orders. That's how that works. At this time, I do have a discussion item for us this evening, and I'll try to make this fairly quick. As the board may or may not be aware, last summer, council appointed you all as the nuisance abatement board. You will sit as you are now, except you'll wear a different hat. We'll adjourn as the code enforcement board and then open again as the nuisance abatement board. We may or may not have a separate agenda. I don't know how we're going to vet that out at this point or if it's required. It may be required that we have a separate agenda because of notice requirements and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to do this evening was to hand out to you a copy of the nuisance abatement board's, what the board consists of, basically the ordinance of what you'll be expected to do as a nuisance abatement board member. Nuisance abatement is different than what we're traditionally charged with doing here, in that these are all cases that are brought to you by the police department and staff attorney. You'll still have representation like you normally would, but generally there'll be an attorney either paid for by the police department or by the city to be here to present this case to you.
Actually, Chip, we're probably going to draft an ordinance allowing you to prosecute.
Okay. So I may be presenting the case to you.
But there will be an attorney
but
by the
somebody
people.
Is going to be here to present this case to you. Nuisance abatement in the code means that a property, generally a business or a business function, has violated a drug law or prostitution law, and generally two times within the previous 6 months. So the police department is going to present evidence to you all that they've made purchases upon this property or they've conducted prostitution stings at this location, what have you. And in that situation, you guys will be finding, this board will be finding them either guilty or not guilty, and you can assess a fine. That fine is, like all your other fines, has the force of law behind it, and you know, we work from there.
What's the maximum fines on that board?
I'm going to give you all that. It is different.
So this is not residential?
No.
It could be a residential property, but...
if they're dealing drugs out of there or something like that.
But this is just a little different process in that the police department is preferring charges to you all rather than the code enforcement department.
What would that...
You may have...
Mm-hmm.
you may have a conflict from time to time.
I know a little bit about it, because I've been talking to the chief of police.
So I should not stay for this board?
I don't know. I think you can listen to the case and you can abstain from a vote. I think you can still have part of, you can be involved.
If it's a case being prosecuted, are you saying?
Yes.
Well, I mean, we don't prosecute businesses.
Well, this board does prosecute businesses.
Well, I know, but my office doesn't, the office I work for currently
does not, yes.
does not prosecute businesses.
You know, Daniel, wait till we have a case and then talk to your
staff
about it, get their thoughts.
To see if you have a conflict. My personal opinion is that you may not have a conflict, but if you do, you could abstain.
This is all new. We're going to work on it.
We'll figure it out. It'll work.
Well, I know the police chief is really excited about the nuisance abatement law here. And he is going to have some up here.
Yes, that is also correct.
Yes.
I already know that we are proceeding in that regard.
And
so
it's,
that's why I'm trying to get you all tuned up so that you'll, it's not going to be something where you would feel like, oh my God, what's happening?
Well, it's necessary.
You're still going to feel that way.
So this is just like an additional, like in one of these situations, somebody who's been, you know, who is presumed guilty of one of these.
You know, the little Jiffy stores that sell the
it's not presuming guilt.
So it's just if they've been cited for a violation of the code.
So it's going to be onto their property instead of onto the individual.
You know, it's like a Jiffy store that lets a drunk hang out there all day.
That's correct.
Are you selling bath salts? Are you selling fake marijuana? Are he, you know, they got 400 calls from the fire department, police department. Why?
So it kind of just beefs up the consequences. Like if the guy who's doing this, who's
I don't stir it up now.
They could,
apologize.
They have already been and
the individual may be charged with a crime in connection with this activity, but the owner of the property where that activity is being allowed
and
is
his license
nuisance,
and his license can be taken from him.
Okay. Well, let me clarify on that. The city does not issue occupational licenses. The city issues business tax certificates.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not a ground under zoning rules to remove a business tax certificate. However, I think that what we're trying to do here with what previously happened at the Flamingo Hotel is we are assessing a fine against the owner for them to step up and take responsibility. That has a separate function from what the police may have done with the individuals involved in a drug transaction.
Gotcha.
They probably went to the jailhouse.
That's exactly what I was asking.
That's basically, okay. Chip, what it does, it opens the doors up for, like, the beverage people.
It's a possibility.
That they can come in and get their case going once we establish guilty or
it's a,
whatever.
It's a possibility.
Yes.
So our goal here is that, again, because this is a good position, because you all are familiar with dealing with property issues, it's another tool in the tool belt, if you will, for the city to take action against violations that are occurring within the city. So, whereas an owner of a property could say, well, the police took care of it. Well, we're saying, yes, the police took care of those people, but you have a responsibility as a property owner to try and prevent this activity from occurring on your property. That's where your niche is.
Well, you know, as representing the people of the city of Ocala, this board, if the fire department sent out there 300 times to a business and the police department sent out there 300 times and the police makes arrest, okay, they made arrests, but there's still a nuisance.
Correct.
To our community.
And that's where you all are going to be acting as part a board that hears and provides due process to a property owner who's been charged with a violation.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's a nuisance violation of drug sales and prostitution. Those are the two items that are specifically identified in this code. So mm-hmm. it's another item in the tool belt. I know that Chief Graham likes the use of this, mm-hmm. and I know that we'll be bringing cases before you all. I know that when I was a deputy sheriff, we brought many cases to the county for nuisance abatement, and it gave them the ability to foreclose these, like we do in other cases that are brought to you, take control of property. We've taken down properties that were, you know, in violation of nuisance abatement previously. I know that on Baseline Road at 35th Street, we removed several homes that were strictly having drugs and prostitution sales. That was it.
Well, it opens up a whole can for the city to, you know, the building inspectors, everything to go in and take a look at things, you know?
Well, this is specifically for cases that will be brought to you by the police department. Mm-hmm. And I think as you delve into this, you'll become a little more familiar with it. I just want to let you know that these things are coming down. This will work similar to what your job is on the Contractors Board of Examiners and Appeals. When we bring a contractor before you and we say, hey, this guy's been a bad character for whatever reason, we present evidence to you in that regard. That has a separate set of consequences associated with it than your code board duties. So you guys put on a different hat as a Contractors Board of Examiners and Appeals. Contractors would come here, explain their case, but in that case, they are generally fined and they get a letter of reprimand by the building official, okay? So anything that happens with our building official can apply to all the counties that touch this county. So if we have a bad contractor, they're not just going over to Citrus County and working out of Marion County, see? So that's what the game is there.
We've done that before here.
We have done that before. And we've done that with success, because we get somebody's attention, just like you do here with the code board. So I just wanted to let you know that's coming in your next version that the staff attorney and I are working on. It'll probably be in your procedures book that you guys get this job. And we'll also have the Contractors Board of Examiners and Appeals in there too. So.
Approximately how long until those boards start meeting? A few months or longer?
Probably within the next next month or two, is my in my opinion. I know that we're working on stuff right now. So
the only thing I see is that in the definitions it says any controlled substances defined by Florida Statute Section 893.02. I think it's 893.03 is the schedule for.
Oh, is that right?
That,
very
that,
good.
That may just be, this was extracted from MuniCode, so it may be wrong in MuniCode, which gets me.
I'm fairly certain that 893.03 is the schedule with the.
What does it say?
893.02.
And should be 03?
No, it says 03.
It says 02.
Oh, it says 02. It should be 03.
It should be
03.
So, I mean, there's other things here, including impoundment of vehicles and what have you. As you read through it, if you have questions or what have you, you can ask me. If it's beyond my expertise, I'll get with the city attorney and get back to you all. And, of course, we can have more discussions on this in the next board meeting. What I want to just impress upon you all is that when you meet here as a board, is your opportunity to discuss it amongst yourselves. If you're out in the field, because of the sunshine laws, chapter 119, you can't.
And I was actually going to bring this up after the meeting. On my first meeting, the city attorney went over the sunshine laws, and I know we've got a new member. And I found that really helpful. I don't know if you mind taking two.
We minutes. Do that.
I think Pat does that.
He does.
Periodically with.
They do that periodically, so we'll try to catch up with you.
Yeah. And I found it really helpful. I know we have a new board member tonight, so.
And I know that I'll just.
Yeah, I've never heard of him either.
You haven't been yet, but they have the clerk's office has your name, and they know when you do and have and not had it. So as they scheduled up, they usually schedule it in the summer months,
okay.
Which is when you came last time. For those of you that haven't had it, will be invited. Sometimes they ask all of you to come. It's, of course, voluntary, but you should get it one time at least. And
anything comes up in the meantime, call us.
Yeah, and that's why I try to bring it up when we have an open board, just to let you know, discussions amongst yourself about board business should be excluded just to this time at the board meetings. But you can have an ex parte conversation with me, just not involving, you know, the case or what have you, or with someone else that
is on the
if board. If there were three of us standing together, we could not discuss board business. But you could discuss board business with me individually. What we just try to caution you against is that the state law doesn't want you discussing a case that you might that might come before you or things prior to it being brought before you. Any other questions that I can answer for you all tonight? I know it's a lot, but
I've got one related. The financial disclosures for this year.
Yes.
Is that coming? That just going to come in the mail, or do I have to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll come to you when they need them done.
Okay.
Having said that, I would respectfully request a motion to accept all of the evidence, testimony, and presentations into the record this evening, and we'll.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Mr. Roos has made the motion to accept.
Jason.
Jason has seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Sit over here.
Sounds exciting. We're going to get everybody seated.
Yeah, I know.
Get it for best.
How many people?
I did go to H Street. Are you really?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Oh, I knew, I remember.
Yeah, it's like rain.
Yes.
I have to figure out if it is the same as I'm telling you, I know. That's what they had told me, because we had talked.
One of the parents.
I don't know, can you?
No, thank you.
Right now, this cup, this young cup, it's purple. It's somewhere in the air.
I think it's this side, the one that I know.
Where it says, Bill, you owe me a son.
Fast, you guys need to slow this down.
Less down?
45 days.
Joseph. Mr. Richards. Mr. Richards. Don Sparkle. The issue that you have in your neighborhood, call Chip. Call Chip. The problem you have in the neighborhood, call Chip. And I have officers come out. Okay.
I understand now, yeah.
And then we'll put it in the process. Okay. Don't go on the property and cut up nothing. Just go ahead and let us take care of it, and we'll jump right on. Okay.